welcome again to our program. We continue in Ephesians chapter 4. Have your Bible ready. Do like that song. I wish I could sing. I would sing it for you. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong, and in his might hold fast. So if God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. I've read the last chapter. We do win. Well, I said if I could sing. If I sing, the angels will be holding their ears, and so will you. So I'm not going to do that. Let's get into Ephesians chapter 4. We saw in our last program that God said, or Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And here's what they should be taught: that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 22 says that ye put off. Verse 24 says that ye put on. Then verse 25, putting away, and down in verse 31, again, putting away. We're going to look at it today as we continue in this chapter. Before we do, listen to this message and song, make it your prayer, near to the heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. All those who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet,
the heart of God,
a place where we our Savior meet,
near to the heart of God.
O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. To wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. Hushed my heart expectancy, all to thee is yielded. I am not my own. Blissful, glad surrender, I am thine own. Glorious will. pleasure in thy child fulfill. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, all those who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Again, reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, that's an interesting phrase, that ye put off. The word put here is used in the sense that someone might say if they were heading out with a ship, we're putting off for Mexico or wherever they think they might be going. It means to be going somewhere. And so in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 16, Paul said he had determined to sail by Ephesus. In Acts 27 and verse 1, it was determined that we should sail. And so he's talking about going some direction. Here in chapter 20 of verse Acts, he's going to Ephesus. And verse 27, they're going somewhere else. They ended up in a great shipwreck there. It's interesting. As you go down through Acts chapter 27 and verse 1, it says it was determined that we should sail. Verse 2 says we launched, meaning to sail. Verse 4 said we had launched and we sailed. And then in verse 4, again, it says the winds were contrary, and they will be if you're going to sail the direction God wants you to sail. Verse 5 says we sailed. Verse 7 said they sailed slowly many days. And verse 9 said they sailed, and it was now dangerous to sail. But verse 13 says they sailed. Verse 13 also says there arose against it a tempestuous wind, terrible storm. And then in verse 13, undergirding the ship, what they do? They sailed again. No small tempest lay upon us, it says in verse 20. They hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and they sailed. Verse 44, they all escaped safe to land. Now they had a shipwreck. They had to swim the last little piece, but they got there safely. But they sailed. That's what we're talking about here. To put off is to put off. We're heading in a direction here. And God has a plan and he has a path. A plan is how am I going to achieve something? And the path is the way I'm going to reach the planned destination. Well, as we determine to follow God's plan, if we determine to take God's path, then we're going to have God's power. And in verse 23 and in verse 24, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So as we start down this Christian trail, there's some things we need to put off. We looked at those in our previous messages, but now he says, here's some things you need to put on. Now, if we're going to be putting these things on, we will have to start by being renewed in the spirit of our mind, renewed in our spirit. Now, how it works is we've said this many times, and we'll say it many more times because it's very important. The Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image. God is a three-part person, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are also made in his image, and we are three-part. We have a soul, we have a spirit, and we have a body. Now, the Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and then our spirit should dictate to our soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, as to what our body should do and where it should go. So he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, renewed in our spirit. David said in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. James put it this way, the body without the spirit is dead. We see in the story of Jesus when he was crucified. It says in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And then you remember the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. They stoned him, and the Bible tells us in verse 59 that when they did this and they stoned him, he called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And so we are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. The Bible talks about a troubled spirit. Job, in Job chapter 7, verse 11, he said, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job 1, or 21 rather, in verse 4 says, why should not my spirit be troubled? The phrase, my spirit, is in the Bible 40 times. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 2:13, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. And then, as we read earlier, David said in Psalm 51, verse number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then you remember the story of Lazarus when he died in John chapter 11, verse number 33. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her, that is his sister, weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 35, we read, Jesus wept. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we read in verse 27 of John chapter 12, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And so we may have to have our spirit renewed. We may have a troubled spirit, and we need to renew our spirit. And we also need to renew our relationships. When you look at the church here in the book of Ephesians, it was a thriving church, but only 40 years later, we read in Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 7, that the Lord wrote unto the church at Ephesus these things. And he said in verse 2, I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know your patience, how you cannot stand them which are evil. They tried them which said they were apostles and were not, and found them liars. Says verse number 3, they have borne, they have patience, and for his name's sake they labored. They did not faint, it says in verse number 3. In verse number 6, it said they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus said he also hated. They were a solid, fundamental church, right? No, it says in verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You've left your first love. So their relationship with the Lord was not what it should be. They were going through the motions of solid fundamentalism, but they had left their first love. Ephesians 4:25 goes on to say, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, it's kind of interesting here that he would write to this church back there. It was a great church at that time, and he said, put away lying. Why would he say that? Well, he said, every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The context here is a local church situation. And Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so he uses a metaphor here of a body. And if a body, it needs all the parts working together in unity. In 1 Timothy 3:15, we read, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so he said here in verse 25, put away lying, that is, be totally honest with each other, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And then we have another very interesting verse in verse number 26 of chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry. What is anger? It's a strong feeling of displeasure. But he says, be angry, but be careful. Be angry, because you can be angry and sin, and you can be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with being angry if you're directed by the Holy Spirit to be angry. He said, be careful. Sin not. In verse 29, he says, be careful that you don't use corrupt words here, because when you get angry, we're dealing in the emotions. But Jesus, in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 5, it says he looked round about on them with anger. Anger is an emotion, and if the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to my spirit that I should be angry about something, then I need to be angry about something, but we need to be sure that it's a Holy Spirit-controlled anger, not just something of the flesh. He also said, and let not the sun go down on your wrath, and that's a totally different word here. It says in Ephesians 4 and 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so he says, no, there's a difference between anger and wrath here. In verse 31, he hooks bitterness with wrath, and he hooks anger and clamor and malice with that kind of wrath, and that's not the Holy Spirit-led kind of wrath. He says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. The word malice here means ill will, a desire to injure somebody. Well, the secret to success is found here in this hymn. Make it your prayer day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me, Lord, in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. The promised land.